Father, there is no one who can change the deadness of our souls but you. There's no one who can take a lifeless book and make it alive. There's no one who can take a soul bored with spiritual things and make it interested. There's no one that can take a heart laden down with sin, disinclined to spiritual things, except you. There's no one who can make you look lovely and the world look distasteful except your spirit. There is no one who can take the history from 750 some years before Christ and make it tomorrow's news, except that you were to do this. Please do these things for everyone here. We pray that you would lift Ruth and Brian up as their home today from France for their first worship service in English in a long time. We pray that you would lift up people who are visiting today, maybe on vacation. We pray, God, that you would lift up people who are here every week and listen to the same minister week after week, the same old minister. It will be a brand new Bible for them today as the Holy Spirit teaches them as if they had never read this passage. May you do that, God, because apart from you, it simply cannot be done. In Jesus' name, the Son of God, our Savior, whom we love and whom we long to see when he comes again. Amen. 4th of July is a very good time to read the book of Chronicles. Anyone who studies the rise and fall of nations would ignore this book at his own peril. I'm going to read again from 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. I strongly urge you again not to follow along unless you have a Today's English Version of the Bible, because I think it's a little easier to just listen. And then I would urge you to open your Bible during the sermon. This is the first sermon I've ever preached in my life that I knew the title ahead of time. A man who needed no help. All the people of Judah chose Amaziah's 16-year-old son, Uzziah, to succeed his father as king. It was after the death of Amaziah that Uzziah recaptured Eilat and rebuilt the city. Uzziah became king at the age of 16, and he ruled in Jerusalem for 52 years. His mother was Jechaliah from Jerusalem. Following the example of his father, he did what was pleasing to the Lord. As long as Zechariah, his religious advisor, was living, he served the Lord faithfully, and God blessed him. For example, Uzziah went to war against the Philistines, and he tore down the walls of their cities of Gath and Jamnia and Ashdod, and he built fortified cities of his own near Ashdod in the rest of Philistia. God helped him defeat the Philistines and the Arabs living at Geba Unites, and the Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziah. And so he became so powerful that his fame spread even to Egypt. For another example of God's blessing, Uzziah strengthened the fortifications of Jerusalem by building towers at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and where the wall turned. He also built fortified towers in the open country and dug many cisterns because he had large herds of cattle in the western foothills and plains. Because he loved farming, he encouraged the people to plant vineyards in the hill country and to farm the fertile land. For another example of God's blessing, he had a large army ready for battle. Its records were kept by his secretaries, Jael and Maaseiah, under the supervision of Hananiah, a member of the king's staff. The army was commanded by 2,600 officers, and under them were 307,500 soldiers able to fight effectively for the king against his enemies. Uzziah supplied the army with shields, spears, helmets, and coats of armor, bows and arrows, and stones for slinging. In Jerusalem, his inventors made equipment for shooting arrows and for throwing large stones from the towers and the corners of the city wall. His fame spread everywhere, and he became very powerful because of the help he received from God. But when King Uzziah became strong, he grew arrogant, and that led to his downfall. He defied the Lord his God by going into the temple to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah, the priest, accompanied by 80 strong and courageous priests, followed the king in to resist him. They said, "Uzziah, you have no right to burn incense to the Lord. Only the priests who are descended from Aaron have been consecrated to do this. Leave this. You have offended the Lord God, and you no longer have his blessing." Uzziah was standing there in the temple beside the incense altar and was holding an incense burner. He became angry with the priests, and immediately, as he was raging, a dreaded skin disease broke out on his forehead. Azariah and the other priests stared at the king's forehead in horror and then forced him to leave the temple. He himself hurried to get out because the Lord had punished him. For the rest of his life, King Uzziah was ritually unclean because of his disease. Unable to enter the temple again, he lived in his own house, relieved of all duties, while his son Jotham governed the country. And to summarize now, the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, recorded all the other things that King Uzziah did during his reign. Uzziah died and was buried in the royal burial ground, but because of his disease, he was not buried in the royal tomb. Jotham succeeded him as king. I can picture him old. He's a grandfather. He's in the last year or two of his life. And his grandkids come to visit him. They're used to visiting Grandpa by standing outside the window because they're not allowed in the house where he lives, because if they were to go in the house, they might catch this dreaded skin disease. And so Uzziah, who has never held his grandkids in his arm, has to lean out the window and talk to them. "Hey, kids, how you doing?" And they say to him, "Granddad, you're old now. Tell us what it was like for you when you were young." "Ah," he says, "when I was young, I had it all," he says. "I had it all in my hands, and I let it slip through. Do you know what I had?" He said, "I shared my dad's throne for the first 52 years of my reign. And then when he died, I became the only king. And I was really a good one. As long as I followed the Lord, God prospered me. And it was great. There was this old guy named Zechariah. He was a prophet. He was kind of funny, like most prophets are. But the whole time he lived, for all his interesting characteristics that maybe bothered me when I wanted to cut loose, I always listened to him. And he always helped me to do what was right. And I was so glad I listened to him. I remember the Proverbs talking about, 'He who walks with wise men will become wise himself.' And I know that's what happened to me when I was young. You kids should have seen me in battle. Now, I know I can't fit into my uniform anymore. I don't really look as good. But I was some kind of stately general, I'll tell you. Let me tell you what happened. You guys know that down to the south of us, we have all these enemies. We have these Philistines over here and all these Edomites, and these Arabs are always coming over the hill with their camels. God gave me the ability to wipe these people out. I had one success after another. Just lay them low. People started bringing tribute to me. You probably don't remember this, but your grandfather, my father, Amaziah, he had so, hate to talk this way about your grandfather, but he had so botched things up that the whole country just fell into a state of disarray. There was no money. You probably remember when you were very little kids that this wall here, Jerusalem, 600 feet of it, were knocked down. You couldn't even see it because the Israelites from the north came and attacked. Well, I rebuilt that. I was able to do that because of my great armies. It was great. I don't know if you kids know this, but usually when a general in Israel has soldiers apply their own swords and their own arrows and that kind of thing, but God had so blessed me that I was able to supply my troops with arrows and slingshots and coats of armor and with shields and all this kind of stuff. It was at my expense. That's how great a king I was. "Now, you boys especially be interested in this," he says. "I know that by now warfare has really changed from the time when I was a kid. But, you know, when I was a kid, we didn't have the kind of weapons we have now that you're grown up. Because, you see, while I was general, I'm proud to say, I had engineers that developed these fantastic war machines. You see, what we had was, we had a situation where it used to be that when we were shooting down our arrows at people besieging us, the guys on the bottom would make a rush and they'd shoot their arrows up and we'd lose some of our best men. But during my time as general, we had guys developing these machines that you would bend back, you'd put these huge boulders on, and all of a sudden, from behind the walls where they couldn't see them, and they'd knock off 5 or 10 guys like that. Or they'd shoot 20 arrows at a time, and that was it. Happened during my lifetime. Look in the fortifications. Look at this stuff. In fact, what you do is, here's a slip of paper. You go tell General so-and-so you want him to shoot off 30 arrows from the southeast wall this afternoon when they clear the places up, and they'll do it for you. That stuff was invented when I was king. I'm telling you, I was the best king militarily they've had for generations. In fact, there was this Assyrian king. You don't know where Assyria was? I keep telling you kids to study your geography. Syria is way to the north, way to the east, and frankly, I'm kind of scared of them because they're like the big bear coming west, and it's like they're trying to take over the whole world. But anyway, Tiglath-Pileser III, his mother had a bad ability at naming people. He wrote in his records concerning me. The one time when I was allied with several other kings and we went to war against them, we actually got the Assyrian king's attention. That's how good I was. And as far as buildings, kids, listen, this city, you have it so easy. I mean, when I was a kid, this city didn't look this good. Half the cities around, I built them. Don't you understand that? The Philistines, when you were kids, were just running all over the place in the plains. I conquered them, and I built a lot of Israelite cities right there. I tell you, I did this, and it was pretty good stuff. As for all the crops, I noticed you kids are eating very, very well. I noticed you in particular are eating a little too well down there. Well, it's probably my fault because, I don't know, hate to brag and everything, but I'm kind of the patron saint of agriculture of Judah, to tell you the truth. Under me, agriculture took a big swing up. You see, you kids probably rarely get out to the country because you're all city boys and you don't know very much about farming and whatnot like that. But out in the country, especially where there's a lot of agriculture but there's no cities nearby, it gets so hot in the middle of the day you can't even stand it. So I had my men build these big, huge towers in the middle of the desert area. With irrigation, they used to spread farming where it had never been before. And in the heat of the day, all the men and women who were working in the vineyards could come into the tower and get into the shade out of the real heat of the sun, and it was okay. Every now and then, an Arab raiding party or some other raiding party would come over the hill, and my men and women could run into the tower and hold up there until reinforcements came in the form of the army, and so they were always safe. This was pretty good. And we built cisterns. Now, I know you don't know what cisterns are because you're so used to modern conveniences, but see, cisterns was, you know, our country's so dry, we only get rain in the spring and the fall. In the winter and summer, we don't get a drop. And so I had these guys dig these huge underground, well, they're just like bowls, big, gigantic bowls to hold the water, but with tiny little narrow things at the top. Why do you think we just had little narrow holes at the top? Well, so the water couldn't evaporate. We collect all the water and troughs and whatnot and filter it into the cisterns, and then we just have a little hole in the top where you'd lower a bucket and pull it up with a rope and then close it up with the top. I'm telling you, more advances got made in my kingship than got made in many, many generations, I'm proud to say. And I'm embarrassed to tell you about this, kids. But, well, I know that you notice how ugly I am because my whole body is covered with this really obnoxious disease. It sometimes smells. Our doctors can't do anything about it. In fact, some of the biblical writers tell us that if you get a disease like mine, well, you know the penalty. You have to go live by yourself the rest of your life. I'll tell you how that came to be. It came to be, well, it's hard to say, but it came to be because I just got a little too big for my own britches. I got proud. I'll tell you what happened. Come here, I'll draw you a picture. Give me that scissors, all the same. You kids, there's the temple. You all can go to the temple. And in the temple, you know, there's the outside wall where the altar is. And when the priests go in there, they offer the burnt offerings on the burnt offering altar after they wash their hands and the lady. But the actual temple proper, you know, is really a beautiful building, the one that all the sheep from other countries always come to see. Only certain priests are allowed in there. They're only allowed in there at certain times, to do certain functions, when they're told to go in there. When you walk right in there, on the left of the 7 golden candlesticks, on the right of the table of showbread, for the
right in the front, just before you get to the curtain behind which is the Ark of the Covenant, there's a little altar called the altar of incense. And on the altar of incense is sprinkled this powder that burns. And it's the sweetest smell you've ever smelled. Nobody's allowed to use this powder anywhere else in the temple of God. It's represented our prayers going up to God. The kids have to speak. After I become so crazy, and I really am, I begin thinking, I'm pretty big stuff, aren't I? And I begin thinking of all the countries around me, the kings were not only the king of the secular world, but they were king of the religious world too. And they kind of were the priest kings, and I thought, it'd be kind of nice to do a little priestess stuff every now and then. And so I went in there, and I walked right into the temple where all the priests go, and I started offering incense. I had a censer in my hand. You know what that is? Well, it's kind of like a silver chain down in a little pot. And this little pot has a little grate on it. You sprinkle the powder of incense, and the pot burns it and makes it smell in there. And I was waiting this, the smoke was rising, and I was pretty impressed with myself. And it's while I was in there, the 80 priests came walking in. There was one in particular, I remember, he was a leader. And he looked at me and said, King, when I didn't have his head chopped off, or his hands chopped off, or his toes taken off one at a time. So I said, I can't believe you're talking to me about this. And I was red and raging. Kids, the most stupid thing you can ever do is to run and rage with someone trying to tell you about your own sins. And as I was going on and on, immediately, I felt my skin change. And I saw 80 pairs of eyes look at me, heart. And I felt myself, and I looked at my skin, and I realized that God had afflicted me with a skin disease, just like that. And so the priests ushered me out of the temple, and they put me in this house, and I'm forced to stay in this house now the rest of my life. I'm going to die soon, but I can never leave. That's why I can never hug the kids. That's why I can't even go to school to buy a loaf of bread, even on me. Dude, I can't do anything. I had it all, and by my 5 minutes, I lost it.
Kids, I want to tell you a story. A long time ago, when Moses led the Israelites through the wilderness, in fact, he wrote about it. You know, the 5 books of Moses we study in school, Numbers chapter 16, it talks about it. There was this gentleman named Korah. Korah was arrogant. He was proud. He thought that he was as good a leader as Moses was. And he said, hey, why do we have to follow this Moses guy? I'm as good as he is. So Moses said, you want to know who has the Lord's favor? Tomorrow, you bring incense to weigh before the Lord. And I'll bring incense to weigh before the Lord, and we'll see who has the Lord's authority. And so Korah and his 3 followers and 250 guys who followed them all came and waved incense before the Lord. And in Numbers 16:35, it says that fire came down from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. And as for Korah himself and his 2 closest followers and their families, the earth split in two. All their families went alive down to the grave. And the earth closed back up again. Now, the thing about it is that after this had happened, God said, look at this smoldering heap, 250 corpses. It was a stench. Censers were there, made of gold, just lying there, smoldering ash heap. God told them in number 16, they were to delicately go in there and take out the gold from the censers that the men had used who were not supposed to offer incense to God. And they were to take that gold and take smiths and beat it to overlay the temple, the altar in the tabernacle, so that every time people offered a sacrifice, they'd see that gold and remember it came from the censers of 250 men who were burned alive for offering incense to God they weren't supposed to. I heard that story a half dozen times as a kid. But it's funny how when you really get prideful, verses of scripture that you quote to others as applicable to them, you're exempt from. I thought I was over the Bible. I thought I was over the law. I thought that the passages that I was so familiar with that I could tell you kids about it because religion is good for you young people wasn't good enough for me. And so God had to afflict me with leprosy. What's that? Yeah, I know. You're wondering, why didn't God strike me dead or why didn't the priest kill me? Because the Bible makes clear that anyone who enters that building unauthorized is to be killed. Kids, I've thought about that many times. I think the reason is, well, if you could put yourself in my shoes, I'll tell you, being a leper for your whole life is itself a living death. I can't touch you, kids. I can't talk to anybody. I can't go anywhere. I'm dead while I'm alive. I think that's why God did it to me. But I think he gave me years in this house to repent and think about it and prepare to meet him in eternity someday. Yeah. Now, the thing about it is, kids, when I really think specifically about where I went wrong, I think it was this. Of course, it was pride in general, but with me, it was a very specific form of pride. You know what the pride was? The pride was, it's so embarrassing to say this because it's so obviously stupid. I thought I had accomplished all these things by myself. Isn't that kind of ridiculous? Now, some of you kids don't know what my birth name was. You're just used to calling me Granddad Uzziah because that's the name I received when I ascended the throne of Judah. But do you know what my birth name was? Never knew, did you? Amaziah. Yeah, Amaziah. Do you know what Amaziah means? Well, what's Amaz mean? Yeah, that's right. It means help. Amaziah. What's Yah mean? Of course, it means Yahweh, Jehovah. Jehovah's my help. Amaziah was my birth name, that Jehovah is my help. And editorial here, the book of Kings always calls Uzziah Amaziah. Do you know that although so many people helped me in my lifetime, I never knew it. I never gave them credit. I never gave credit to the skillful engineers who designed those things. I never gave credit to the fact that when I was considering myself the great patron saint of agriculture, that I had developed the nation's agriculture, I wasn't the one out there breaking my back tilling the soil. I didn't pick the grapes. I didn't stamp them out. I didn't plant the trees. I didn't prune the trees. I didn't do anything. I sat in my office writing notes to other people, and I took all the credit for it. I hardly even mentioned my mother. Editorial. The Bible goes out of its way to mention Uzziah's mother, the skillful engineers, the people who worked the vineyards, the army who helped him. Three times in this chapter, the word Amaz, help, from which Amaziah comes, is used in verse 7, in verse 13, and in verse 15 to talk about the people who helped Amaziah get where he was, but he never noticed it. In fact, in verse 15, it says, his fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. That is what he failed to admit. And that's what brought him down. So, kids, I've been here many years and my life's almost over. But I have been thinking a lot about the Bible. And I'll tell you who often comes to my mind in these last years. Yeah, I know you kids got to go. Let me just finish telling you this. You remember the story of Samuel? Samuel is one of the first prophets in the Old Testament. His story is told in 1 Samuel 7. One time when the Philistines were fighting Israel. Yeah, these same Philistines that I defeated, only at that time they were much worse. They were extremely powerful. They were very scary men to deal with. One time the Philistines were fighting Israel. And unlike my soldiers who were so well equipped, back then the only people in all Israel who had swords were the King Saul and his son Jonathan. No one else in the whole country had swords because the Philistines controlled all the metal work. If you had a plow and you wanted it sharpened, you had to go to a Philistine smith to get it done. Because they wouldn't let you learn how to do metal work because then you'd make weapons and rebel against them. Well, the Philistines were going to attack. So Samuel and the people prayed. It says in 1 Samuel 7 that Samuel got on his knees, that he offered a sacrifice, that they fasted before the Lord, and that they offered to the Lord probably the most precious offer. What do you think it was? Now, it wasn't money. It was water. You know how here in the ancient Near East, water is so hard to find. It says they took water and they just poured it out before the Lord as a sign saying, God, none of this is worth anything to us, even the water. If you don't keep us alive, we'll die. You're more important than any of this. And it says then in 1 Samuel chapter 7 that they prayed and then they went to war. And kids, I've read this passage many, many times. And here's what it says. It says, that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. And the men of Israel rushed out of the town of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way. And kids, do you know the verse that has always gotten in my craw since then? It's verse 12. It says, "Then the old prophet set stone, and he set it up, and he named it Ebenezer." Kids, you speak Hebrew. What does Ebenezer mean? Eben, stone. Ezer, help. Ebenezer, stone of help. Samuel set it up saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." You know what he did, kids, that I didn't do? He was so aware that it was God who helped him succeed and not himself. But he knew his own heart that he and the Israelites would so quickly forget it that he set up a monument to the fact that it was God who helped them and not they themselves. Kids, if I would have done that, I'd be out hugging you today and I'd still be on the throne instead of my son, Joram. So kids, I guess what I want to say is this. When you're thinking about all the success that you've had, some of you are really attractive. Who gave you your attractiveness? Some of you kids are really athletic. Who gave you your athletic ability? Some of you will grow up to be very successful business people. Who gave you the ability to make money? Some of you are very intelligent and you're going to do wonderfully in the academic world. Who gave you your mind? Some of you are going to get married and have unusually good families. Who gave you the ability to raise kids the way you did? Just remember what Samuel did. He set up a stone and said, "The Lord has been my help." And remember what David said in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth."